And I now dismiss the children to their classes. And as they go, Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing upon them and upon their teachers. Raise them up to be your disciples to the ends of the earth. Amen. We're going to be dealing with issues this morning of repentance and sexual immorality. So if you have little ones who tend to stay in the sanctuary during the sermon, please be aware we're going to be discussing these issues. I'm not going to be graphic, but little children may be better served in our children's classes. And with that, I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I want to begin with a story. When we first moved to Jacksonville, I began to enjoy two new experiences regularly. The first was going to the beach on a regular basis. Having grown up in Pittsburgh, PA, this was new, and it was an amazing blessing to me and my family. The second was pedicures. Yeah, I saw a confused look from the back. I'm not going to point out who that was. I discovered that I could be a blessing to my wife, Kim, if once a month we spent date night together getting pedicures. I learned to suffer for Kim's well-being, sitting in a massaging lounge chair while people messed with my feet. Now, experiencing the beach, I learned all about what I called beach feet, the new-to-me process that caused my feet to toughen up so that they could withstand the heat and the hot sand and the shells and the hot pavement. Now, experiencing pedicures with Kim, I learned about the cheese grater. Those of you who get pedicures regularly know what I'm talking about. My feet would become so calloused from the hot sand and pavement that the people giving me a pedicure would literally need to scrape off the calluses using a cheese grater each month. Now, question for you, why did the calluses form on my feet in the first place? Why? To protect my feet from the heat, from the sharp objects. There was damage, and then calluses formed. But after the calluses were scraped off, my feet were incredibly soft, tender, and the next trip to the beach would be very painful until my calluses returned, only to repeat the process month by month. Now, all of this is directly applicable to our sermon time this morning. We're going to be discussing repentance. So if you have a blue pew Bible, I invite you to turn to page 957, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, page 957. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before we get to that, I want to remind you of Jesus' words from our reading in Luke 13. Jesus was asked to comment on a first century current event, whether those who were killed by the Roman government in the midst of their religious sacrifices were somehow being punished by God for their sinfulness. That was the question. Jesus answered this way. He said, no. But then he added, he said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And to ensure his audience understood what he was saying, he referenced a recent tragedy where 18 people had been killed by a falling tower in Jerusalem. And he declared, do you think they were more sinful than the others? No. He repeated his statement verbatim. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. To further drive home his message, declaring the urgent need for repentance, Jesus tells a parable, a story about a vineyard and an unfruitful fig tree, a tree that for 3 years the owner had been coming back looking for fruit. Obviously, this guy liked figs. He was ready to cut the tree down. He was done. 3 years, no fruit when it should have borne fruit. The vineyard worker implores his boss, give me one more year to lay manure to nurture this tree. But if there's no fruit after this final year, then cut it down. This was a clear story told by Jesus that all would have understood. To emphasize his point to his Jewish audience, you may think that you're okay before God, but I warn you, You need to repent, for time is running out. Repent or you will perish, is the way the scripture reads. You'll be killed or destroyed. And I want you to remember, Jesus began his ministry with the following words after his baptism and wilderness temptation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Recorded in Matthew and Mark. Repent is the translation of the Greek word metaneo. It literally means to heartily amend one's life. Heartily amend means you're moving in this way, and there's a complete change of direction, and you move the other way. It's not you're moving in this way, and then you decide to kind of go maybe this way, sideways. It's a complete 180, change of direction. That's what's before us in repentance. Jesus makes it clear. Repentance, a complete change of direction, is necessary to live by faith and to follow him. And if time was short for repentance then, we're 2,000 years later. It's short for you and me. And this brings us to our reading from Paul's letter to the early church in Corinth. So if you've turned in your Bibles, I don't remember what page that was on. 957. Corinth was a city that was infamous. It was well known in the first century for corruption, for pagan worship, and for sexual immorality. And Paul ends our reading. He ends his point. He ends this section of this letter with verse 14. Therefore, everything proceeds. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, flee is the Greek word with a broader meaning, escape, run away, and inherent there is danger. Flee, run away from idolatry. That's the 180-degree turn that you saw me walking across the stage and going the opposite direction. So before they had faith in God through Jesus Christ, the Corinthians, who were now Christians, they were understood universally in their prior lives to have taken part in the pagan worship, in the corruption. And the pagan worship would have involved feasts of food and wine in pagan temples and would have involved various practices of sexual immorality. Now, as followers of Jesus, members of the first ever church in Corinth, they had repented of their sins, choosing to follow Jesus. But according to this letter, they're still participating with the pagan meals and the feasts, and therefore still involved in the sexually immoral behavior. They had confessed their sin and repented, but they were not living in a different direction. They proclaimed faith in Jesus, they received his forgiveness of sins, but they continued in their sinful behavior. Verses 1 through 3 were Paul's reminder to the church members. Our Hebrew spiritual ancestors walked with God. They were nourished by God's miraculous and spiritual provision of food and water. And then we come to verse 4. All drank of the same spiritual drink. And then verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. God was not pleased. They were overthrown. They were killed because they continued in their sinful practices of idolatry. They declared, "The Lord is my God," but their behavior followed their routine practices, what they were used to. They didn't go in the opposite direction. Flee from idolatry is Paul's point. Our ancestors were examples for us, verse 6. They were examples that we might not desire evil as they did, and that we might not be overthrown as they were. Verse 7. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. Don't do as they did. And then it says, sitting down, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Sounds like a picnic, right? Eat and drink and rise up to play. Sounds pretty appealing. But play here literally means revelry. And in the context, it means sexually immoral revelry, sexual play. Well, how do I know this? Look at the next verse, if it wasn't clear enough. Paul writes, verse 8, we must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, as our ancestors did. This is where our message connects with my story of calluses and pedicures. I'm sure you were wondering, where's he going with all of this? Calluses protected my feet from harmful, sharp rocks, sand, and heat, keeping me from feeling the pain and the danger that those represented to me. Normally, when you walk and your feet are painful, you stop walking, or at least you put shoes on. Left unchecked, though, my calluses, I discovered, I'm going to keep my calluses. Well, eventually they'd split, on my feet anyway. They'd cause deep, painful cracks in my feet, and they wouldn't heal again. Until then, I had the cheese grater across cracks that were open, which was really painful, and then lots of weeks with Band-Aids and Neosporin. Sorry, that was pretty graphic. That's as graphic as I'll get. In the same way, your hearts can become calloused to many things. Your mind and your eyes and your heart can become calloused. You watch your first scary movie and you're disturbed. I still remember the first one that I saw flipping through the channels one Saturday morning on TV. I couldn't sleep that night. Had all the lights on. But then after watching many more movies like that, we become numb to the gore and the evil, even growing to crave more violent fare, and we're okay. Your first encounter with sexual behavior, whether through pictures, whether through movies, whether through Netflix, whether through voyeurism, whether through friends, or if awfully, if it came through abuse. That first encounter bringing various feelings of disgust, euphoria, and shame. And then you become used to the materials, calloused, no longer repulsed, but excusing more and even craving more. The Corinthians were so used to their enjoyment of pagan love feasts that even after repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, they continued in those temptations, in those sexually immoral occasions. The culture said it was fine, so they did it. And they did it so much so that it reached Paul's ears in another city, in Ephesus. And so he writes a letter back to them saying, what are you doing? Flee idolatry. Do not practice sexual immorality. Repent. Walk in a different direction. Lent is a season marked by a call for repentance. A season each year to evaluate your life, to identify places or behaviors where you may be falling to your temptations, calloused to what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you that there's pain and there's danger, but you're calloused. You just endure it. You have an opportunity in Lent to repent. Ask God, reveal to me the sin. You have the opportunity to turn away from those behaviors, to walk in a different direction. And I would modify how I'm walking on the stage. Walking instead of this way, but towards the Lord, towards the cross. To repent and choose to live in an entirely different direction. Look at verse 13. Paul declares, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Paul declares there, temptation will always be there, but he writes a scriptural promise, one that we need to hear, I need to hear regularly. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. Your ability to what? Ability to flee, to run away from the danger, from the temptation, and that God will always provide a way of escape. Now, this does not mean the usual misunderstanding of the scripture. You may hear people say, God never gives me more than I can handle. Well, that's not what this says. Life routinely gives us more than we can handle, and it exposes our need for a Savior. It exposes our need for His hope, for His help, for His healing. It exposes our need for the gospel. The scripture does not say God will not give you more than you can handle. It says God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle, beyond what you can bear. Whatever temptation you're under, hear this as good news. It's not more than you can flee from. It's not more than you can bear. There's hope. God gives you a way to escape. He doesn't say he'll remove the temptation, but he says, look at the end of verse 13, so that you may be able to endure it. It's the enduring it that changes us as we follow Christ, depending not on ourselves, but on Him. While that's good news, it's predicated by verse 12. This is another powerful verse. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Can you hear that reoccurring statement you may hear in culture? Pride goeth before the fall. Take heed. Be careful, Paul writes. Be careful to anyone who thinks that they're okay. Pride. Violence in movies doesn't bother me. I'm okay. Sexuality in movies or that, I'm okay. Be careful lest you fall. You must watch out, is the warning. Your heart may be so calloused like the Corinthians, you may think you're okay before God while all the while you're immersed in sexual immorality. You're not feeling the pain of the heat, of the danger, of the painful promptings of the Holy Spirit warning you to flee. And when we flee toward Christ where there's healing and restoration. It's not a flee, run, and hide. It's a flee and return back to me where there's hope. Where there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and redemption. While I could discuss idolatry regarding lots of things, coveting and stewardship and money, pride, alcohol or addictions, food and overeating, we could discuss all of those, but Paul doesn't discuss those here. He has one subject before us, sexual immorality. I ask you, where in your life are you, because of the calluses around your heart and eyes and mind, allowing yourself to indulge in unhealthy sexual immorality and idolatry that God's calling you to flee? It will probably be immorality trumpeted by our culture, approved of by our culture, just as it was in Corinth. Immorality inherent in every popular TV show or streaming show or movie or on billboards or in commercials. It's everywhere. Where's God asking you to flee rather than indulge? It may be in what you watch. It may be in the books or the magazines that you read. It may be in what you voyeuristically focus your eyes on in public settings, the beach or at work or at the gym, or what you watch in secret. Perhaps ask yourself this question: would Jesus enjoy reading or watching or looking at this with me? Would Jesus approve of the focus of my mind right now? Flee immorality. Flee idolatry. Remember my calluses. After the cheese grater shaved off my calluses, I couldn't walk barefoot on the beach again because I felt the danger, the heat. Damage comes before calluses. And when you are calloused to those things, it's because damage has happened. And God wants to give you a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. He wants you to feel the pain again so you can continue to flee. Flee idolatry and return into his loving arms. Ask the Lord this week, ask the Lord every day to scrape the calluses from your eyes, mind, and heart, and ask him to help you see what he wants you to flee, to repent from and run away from. These days, many people are struggling with lust issues, both men and women, including internet pornography. If you are struggling, please don't struggle alone. There's help and hope available here in Jacksonville, and people are finding freedom. If you are struggling, don't struggle alone. Confess to a brother or sister in Christ. Ask them to pray for you. Choose to identify your lust and step away. Choose to identify your shame and flee. Don't let the enemy keep you imprisoned or bound. Bring it into the light. My door is open. I invite you to come and talk to me about it. Let me pray for you. From our Ash Wednesday liturgy, let's read this together. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And then this from our reading, verse 13. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He will also provide the way of escape, all so that you can endure. Therefore, my beloved, choose this Lent to flee sexual immorality and flee idolatry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.